In 1887, Rev Gershon Henoch Liner, also known as the Radzina Rebbe. If you know any Radzina Hasidim, you'll see them with the tzitzis out, and you'll see them with tcheles from the Radzina Rebbe. They still claim their right, or I don't know if they claim their right, they're still wearing it, let's put it that way. And they believe it's from the cuttlefish, because the Radzina Rebbe was a big, besides being a Rebbe, he was a, I guess he was into science, he went around Italy checking out all the waters, and he, after speaking to many chemists and experts, he concluded he found the tcheles. He found that the tcheles, that's the blue thread that we could put on the tzitzis. So why was he in such a hurry to find the tcheles? Like, because when it comes to the halacha, because he was in the late 1800s, so back then, Mehera Yibana Beis HaMikdash, the Beis HaMikdash are rebuilt soon. So he said, what's going to happen? We're going to have the temple built, and then everyone's going to dray around. Let's start looking for the tcheles now. Why do you need tcheles when the Mashiach comes? Like, what's the connection? Because the Kohanim have to wear the Big Day Kahuna. And part of the Big Day Kahuna have tcheles. And tcheles is clearly ma'akev. You can't have Big Day Kahuna without the tcheles. It's a no-go. So therefore, he wanted to start looking now, so when the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt, he'll be all set. We'll all set with the cuttlefish and give out tcheles. However, but even we don't really have to wait to the third Beis HaMikdash, because we have a mitzvah of tzitzis. We have a mitzvah of tzitzis that involves tcheles. So what about putting on tcheles on our tzitzis? So, in other words, let's say we have tzitzis and we don't have tcheles. Could you fulfill the mitzvah without tcheles? Or is tcheles an obstacle in fulfilling the mitzvah? So this is it's an old dispute going back to the Mishnah in Menachos. Halavan, it's a machokes in the Mishnah Gemara. We paskin hatcheles eino makeves as halavan, v'halavan eino makeves as tcheles. In other words, we paskin, you could either one, whichever one you have, jump at the opportunity and do it. If you only have one of the two, then do either one. And the other opinion says, no, they're an obstacle. In fact, the great Rebbe, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, that's his opinion, that they are an obstacle. And if you don't have tcheles, you don't have tzitzit. So therefore, I guess when we lost the tcheles about 1,000 years ago, there goes your mitzvah of tzitzit. You can no longer, in fact, that's the way the Baal HaMor paskin, as I like to say, tongue-in-cheek, that seems to be the minhag of Rov Klai Yisrael, to follow Rebbe, the Baal HaMor, not to wear tzitzit bizman hazeh. There's no tcheles, and therefore there is no mitzvah. And therefore, most of Klai Yisrael do not wear tzitzis, maybe for other reasons. They might never have heard of tzitzis, but they're clearly working with the Roach Hasidim of the Baal HaMor. Rav Soloveitchik was more concerned about, you mean the Baal HaMor wasn't buried in a talus? He couldn't get over that part, because we know the custom is we bury people in a talus. It's a separate debate. Your Shabbos talus, your weekly Shabbos, your talus, that's a separate discussion, which one wins. But it could be a different minhagim depending on which Chevra Kadisha you use. And so I think when I was doing it for my father in Queens, so I told my sister to ask the Chevra Kadisha what the minhag was. Let's see if I remember. I think they said something, if one of the kids are going to take the Shabbos talus, then we'll bury him in the weekday. But if not, I think they said the Shabbos. I think that was their minhag. Others have the Avnei Nezer raises maybe you should be buried in your weekday because you're wearing it every day. You know, it's Tadiyah versus Kadosh. That's a separate, because it's Tadiyah, the Tau is during the week you wear most days. Shabbos is more Kadosh. That gets into Tadiyah versus Mekudosh. That's a separate machlokas we'll stay away from tonight. So either way, so it comes down, it's a mach, and in fact, the briskers, you know, the briskers, the Soloveitchiks, they're known for the chumras, let's say. I'm into briska learning. I'm not so much into briska chumras, let's say. But the, what is a brisker chumra? First, I'll give you a principle, then I'll apply it. What briskers do is, and it makes sense, if, in other words, if you're going to take a chumra, you might as well take a briska chumra, because they have real basis for the chumras, as opposed to made-up chumras out of nowhere. But a chumra, a briska chumra is, let's say, is a machlok, I'll take our machlokas. The Baal HaMor against, Baal HaMor says there's no mitzvah of tzitzis today because we don't have tcheyas. I don't know, maybe the Baal HaMor would say today we do have it, maybe he would think one of these are the tcheyas, but assuming we didn't have it, assuming we don't have the tcheyas today, the Baal HaMor would say there is no mitzvah. So we don't pass, it's clear we don't pass like the Baal HaMor, but what briskers do, they take chumras from Rishonim we don't paskin like. So they'll be machmir for the Baal HaMor with chumra. In other words, during the week, they'll wear tzitzis, because what's the harm? If the Baal HaMor is wrong, if the Baal HaMor is right, okay, it's nothing. There's no Aveira. And if the Baal HaMor is right, I'll be wearing it. So when are they machmir? The briskers will not wear, the real briskers will not wear tzitzis on Shabbos. By Tawas, I mean a Tawas Katan. I'm assuming the Tawas Gadil they'll have in shawl or whatever, or they'll be wearing it or something. But why don't they wear a Tawas Katan on Shabbos? Why? Because the Machmer for the let's say the Baal HaMor is right. So I'm carrying. They don't go for Eruvim. They don't go for most of the Eruvim either. They don't hold from Eruvim period, or they don't think your Eruv is good. So generally, they're not going to carry on an Eruv. So therefore, obviously, if you have an Eruv, it's a non-issue. But it's the briskers, because she tells them, they don't go for the carrying. So therefore, they're not going to wear a Talis Katan. We could debate whether the Beged itself is carrying, because you're wearing it. But the strings are definitely a Mashoi, or and therefore, if they're definitely or not, that's the brisker Chumra. That's what I mean. They take a sheet of the Baal HaMor we don't paskin like, but they use the Lechumra on Shabbos. I guess it's also a kula, they're not wearing tzitzis, but I guess it's the old Rav Chaim. He's not machmir in Hilchas Shabbos, he's machmir in Pikuach Nefesh. But either way, that's the machlokas. So we paskin that the tcheles is not ma'akev with the lovan. So therefore, even if we don't have tcheles, we still wear the lovan. That's the way we paskin. You had a question? So the Radzina Rebbe he found the cuttlefish and he made the diet of it. And he said, you know what? Let's go see what other Gedolim think, other rabbis at the time think. So he sent out, he wrote a sefer, I think the sefer Temune Chol, where he has all these opinions, and he sent it around. Many people did not respond. Others did respond. So one of the responses, you know, most did not think it was the cuttlefish. You know, maybe there was some, maybe some agreed with him. But there's there's a letter, not from the Beis HaLevi directly, who is a brisker. He is, as a Rav Soloveitchik from Boston. His father is Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. Rav Moshe Soloveitchik's father, Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, that's the Rav's grandfather. And then Rav Chaim's father is the Beis HaLevi. So that's the one. So the Beis HaLevi lived during this time period. And someone close to the Beis HaLevi sent a letter. It's not written by the Beis HaLevi, but it's sent by a close acquaintance of the, and claiming this is what the Beis HaLevi said. So what did it say? What does it say in the Sefer? Or what does this version of the Beis HaLevi say? It says as follows. It says, you know what? If you could give me a fish, a snail, or whatever. If you could give me something that all the great rabbis haven't known about for years. This cuttlefish, it's been around for hundreds of years. Everyone knows this fish. Tell me what happened that you know and no one else knew. Like, is there some new technology yet? You got to give me, if you give me something new and a reason why no one else would know, then I'll be the first to put it on. I'll check it out and see if it fits. But the cuttlefish has been around for hundreds of years and no one knew it. So we have a de facto tradition that it's a no-go. That the fact that this fish has been around and all the gedolim, no one said it was for the chilazon, and you have no new reason why somehow it turned up now, not before. So there's a de facto tradition that it's wrong. That's the nice version of the Beis Halevi. The brisker version is a lot more strict. I don't know, nice or not nice, but the second version, the version Rav Soloveitchik had, and all the briskers, in even the briskers in Yerushalayim, the brisker Rav, you would think the brisker should have their own. You would think the brisker should have the right tradition of the Beis Halevi, if I had to guess logically, but nevertheless, this is what the briskers say. That's not what the Beis Halevi said. Everyone agrees the Beis Halevi said it was the cuttlefish is out. But according to version number one, in theory, I would consider it, except the cuttlefish, it's known and there's nothing new here, so why would it? So it's a de facto, you're out. The second version is saying, even if you're right, you're wrong. Even if you tell me, even if this new fish appeared out of nowhere, and you take every siman in the Gemara, all the archaeologists, Henry, everyone, and we all come to the conclusion, this is it, you still can't use it. Why? Because the briskers say we have a tradition from the Beis Halevi, we have to have an unbroken chain of Masorah going back. And since for thousands of years, we did not have the about 1,000 years, we didn't have the Tcheles. So if you want to restore an old mitzvah, you need to have a tradition. So we have to wait for Eliyahu HaNavi, Moshe Rabbeinu. So therefore, even if that's the second version, so there's a big difference between the two. Because according to the second version, there's nothing to talk about. We have to wait for the Mashiach to come in order to wear Tcheles. According to the first version, if you found a different fish that fit the bill, then I'd be open to it. So the Badei HaShulchan, Rav Feivel Cohen, a big Rav in Brooklyn, he was very close to Rav El Yashav. And he spent a lot of time with him in the land of Israel. He's famous for his Hilchas Nida book, Badei HaShulchan. I think he has more now. So he asked Rav El Yashav this question. He says, which version of the Beis Halevi do you think is correct? So I think I'm going to qualify the question. The question meaning is not which one you thought the Beis Halevi said. In other words, which one, because you could say, like, how does he know which one the Beis Halevi? In other words, they're asking Rav Yashav, what do you think? Which, in other words, I don't, like, the way it's said over is they asked him, what do you think the Beis Halevi said? I don't think, like, the Beis Halevi could have said anything. The question is, what El Yashav thought, which of the two possibilities make more sense to you? Not which one is the real Beis Halevi. He doesn't know what the Beis Halevi Shita was. I mean, maybe he does, but because the briskers clearly claim he doesn't. So it's Rav El Yashav says, you know what? I think door number one is the correct one. It doesn't make any sense to me. Why do you need a Masorah? Why do you need an unbroken chain? If you could prove to me through scientific, archaeological, historical, Gemara's, that this is it, I'm in. I don't need any. Where did he get this unbroken Masorah from? This is a brisker thing. In other words, and it is a brisker thing. That's what they say also about rice. There's a discussion in the Gemara about Orez and Dochen. Which one is rice and which one is millet? So it's a Shiloh. We have to know what bracha to make. So we make a mizonas on rice. But the briskers, and why? Because we assume now, as Rav Schachter likes saying, we know everywhere you go into Washington Heights, every store there has ariz. Everyone knows rice is rice, and it means orez. However, Rav Soloveitchik said no. He said, we can't prove anything from the dictionary, or use, there was another word he used. What's another word like you look up words on?
Lexicon.
What? No, what did Jeff say?
I said lexicon.
Yeah, I think that's it. But what's the other one?
Thesaurus.
Okay, so they're all true, but I think he used lexicon, but I'm not, whatever it was, it doesn't make a difference what he used. He said you can't use anything. Since we don't have a tradition, so therefore he'll either make a shahako on rice, or he'll eat it together with mizonos. I think independently, Chabad does it, not because of the brisker thing, but by the way, Rav Soloveitchik had a Rebbe who was a Chabad, so he does have links to Chabad in his younger age, when he was mourning younger. And he was, I think he had a Kesher with Lubavitcher Rebbe as well at some point. But either way, so that's what the brisker sheet. So Rav Yashav said, there's nothing wrong with Arkila. If you could bring me proofs, I'm willing to hear. Rav Soloveitchik says, no, I'm willing to hear, but it's not going to help you because practically speaking, if we don't have an unbroken Mesorah, we can't use it. So Rav Soloveitchik, he used to give a shiur in Mariah. That's a shul in Manhattan, and they're very knowledgeable Baal HaBatim there, and they used to challenge the Rav all the time, like when he used in the middle of Shir, you know, they'd scream out and say, "What are you talking about? What about this Gemara, that Gemara?" So, what happened was he gave the Shir. I think he gave a Yortzeit Shir. He gave two Yortzeit Shirs. One was for his father. Apparently that one he did in Yiddish because his kesher in learning with his father was Yiddish. Parenthetically, when the Rav first came to YU, he gave a shiur in Yiddish. The way I think I read or heard from Rabbi Rakefet is, why did he switch to English? Because he wasn't saying it positively about the guy who it was, but basically a guy came and said to, I think to Rav Soloveitchik, asked him, how is the shiur? And he said something like, you got to give it in English or something like that. And one day the Rav started giving it in English. But either way, but what, apparently one of his Yortzeit shiurs for his father was in Yiddish. And I think he lost his wife, brother, and someone else, all like in, maybe mother, all in a similar time. So he gave one Yortzeit shiur for the three of them, I forget which three, and one was for the father. So either way, so one, he gave a Yortzeit shiur. By the way, Yortzeit shiur means 5-6 hours. Only the Rav Soloveitchik, I don't know if he could get away with it now, but he could get away with it then. In fact, he used to ask you after like 3-4 hours, like, do you want to hear more? Most people wouldn't ask that question because they wouldn't want the answer. In his case, he was able to ask it, and they kept on going more and more. It's like, I guess, binging on the Havdil, binging on Netflix, it automatically pops in the next one, and the Rav just kept on going. So, in fact, sometimes they say on Thursday, maybe it's even Thanksgiving, they had to stop him because he was going to miss his plane. And sometimes he said, don't bother me, I'm in the middle of my shiur, we'll catch another flight. But, so either way, so he... So he used to give this, so he used to quote, so there's a Gemara in Baba Basra, Ayin Dalet Amin Aleph, I believe. It was Rabba Bar Bar Chana. He got a tour, his Arab tour guide, and he took him on a trip, and he said, so he went on his tour guide, and he looked at the Masi HaMidbar, the Jews who died in the Midbar. So they said to him, when he came back, they said, so did you check the Masi HaMidbar to see, did you check their tzitzis to see if we passed in like Beis Hillel or Beis Shammai? Or, you know, whatever. He said, no, they were really trashing him. You know, they had strong language for him. They were very unhappy with him. But what do people want to bring a proof from this Gemara? That what? They were willing to learn from archaeological evidence. Like they said, if you would have told us, that seems to be enough. So they said to the Rav, what about this? Don't tell me no archaeological evidence. What about, they quoted them this Gemara. So the Rav said, no, I think there's a Zohar which says, this Arab merchant was Eliyahu HaNavi. So there we have a Mesorah, it's Eliyahu HaNavi. But as Rav Schachter liked saying, Rav Schachter argues, this is one of the things that Rav Schachter disagrees with his Rebbe on. Like, he says, like, any Gemara you quoted him, he came up with some reason why it's no good. Like, no matter what, I guess, you know, because he had a Mesorah, it's no good, so therefore he has to come up with, so he used to, the other thing is, I think, is whether Eretz Yisrael is Eschalta de Geula or not. So Rav Schachter held Yom Yushalayim proved it was, and it's unclear what Rav Soloveitchik held. He used to say, Maisa Bereshis is Eschalta de Geula, the creation of the world. So, but either way, so Rav Schachter, by the way, where's Tchelis? Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, who was the son-in-law and also Talmud, he didn't wear Tchelis. He said he can't because the Rav said no, so I can't even, but he let his son wear because he actually thinks it's it, but he saw every time he heard the Rav saying, you need a Mesorah, you need a Mesorah, so he couldn't put him on himself, but he let his, you know, apparently, you got his son. So what's another Gemara? There's a Gemara in Sukkah, Hayam and Aleph, that it says Rabbi Elezer saw that sits on the Kohen Gadol in Rome. He went to the Vatican. I was supposed to be there tomorrow. I'm on my trip. I was on my tour leaving Barcelona, and we're going to be in Rome on Friday. I wanted to check out the sits. I guess I'm waiting for next year. So I'm hoping that the kosher cruise is back on next July. So Rabbi Elezer saw the actual sits at the Kohen Gadol in Rome, and he said that the words Kodesh Lashem were only on one line. So this they were debating it among the rabbis, and one rabbi was saying two lines, and he said, what are you talking about? I was there in the Vatican, I saw it. It says Kodesh Lashem on one line. Okay, so it seems to be end of the discussion. But the Rambam in Hilchos Klei HaMikdash Perek Tes Halacha Aleph writes that it should be written on two lines. The Rambam goes against Rabbi Elezer, said, I saw it. So the Rambam says, yeah, right, two lines. He says, Hashem on the upper line and Kodesh on the lower line. And then the Rambam writes, B'di'eved, if you wrote it on one line, it's still okay, right? So what's the pshat? So someone and bring a raya from here. Look, the Rambam doesn't care about archaeological evidence because what greater evidence? You see a person wearing it? No. So the Kesef Mishnah says no. That's not the shaila. Of course he holds from archaeological evidence. The problem is, as Henry can tell you, it has to be good archaeology. You have to have the right data and you have to do the right research. In other words, the point was there were hundreds of Kohanim who had different sized foreheads and you only found one of them. Maybe, like if you found, let's say there were 300 of them and you saw 298, that's pretty good data. But if there are 300 of them and you found one, so maybe they were all, the Rambam agrees that this was one way. But doesn't mean they were all that way. The Rambam felt on other, Rambam felt based on other proofs that he thought it was on, that he said it's better on two lines. He wasn't against archaeological evidence, but he said you have to have good archaeological evidence or else, you know, or else it's a no-go. So, yeah, Jeff. No, the Gemara goes through the arguments, but that's not the point now. The question is, how can you go against archaeological evidence? If someone he was in the Vatican, that's our question. That's the whole sugya there we could discuss for another time. So the answer is no, of course the Rama holds from archaeological. Does someone want to bring a proof from here? We see he doesn't. And the answer is no, he does. But he goes for good evidence. Now, at another rag like this, we have a Gemara in, but we know there's a machlokes on Rashi. It's known as, most of us put on Rashi tefillin. In other words, it's a machlokes Rashi Rabbeinu Tam, how the order, the four parshios. Not our concern now. But that is different. The inside the boxes are put in differently. So we all wear Rashi tefillin. Others, Chabad and other people, they wear, those who put on two pair of tefillin, the second pair is Rabbeinu Tam. By the way, Rabbeinu Tam wouldn't wear those tefillin. They're not really Rabbeinu Tam. According to Rabbeinu Tam, those tefillin are pasul. But other Rishonim say they're good. But they're not Rabbeinu Tam. That's what the Nodes of Yehuda writes. But either way, so the point being is, so there's a machlokes, you know, Rashi Rabbeinu Tam. So the question is, the Bach writes that, you know what the Bach writes? That Rashi's tefillin were found at the kever of Yechezkel Hanavi. They found Rashi's tefillin, right? Implying that, so we paskin like Rashi, we found by the kever of, he must have buried his tefillin together with him, or right next to him. So it seems like he wore, so it should be a done deal. However, the Drisha says no, it's just the opposite. Maybe it was buried because they were pasul, and maybe the other ones are, so the point being is, it's not that you can accept archaeological evidence, but you have to have, like any study, you have to have the right data and get to the right, you have to have the right setup. Henry can give you more details on what exactly you do need and how you analyze something and that. But therefore it comes out that basically Rav El Yashav thought the first version is the correct version. That really, so therefore what's the difference? Today, well, before today, Rav Yitzchak HaLevi Herzog, first chief rabbi, not of Israel, but of the state of Israel. Medina, sorry, what do I mean? What's the difference? Because, yeah, we had a chief rabbi before 1948. Rav Yitzchak HaKohen Cook, I believe his name was. And then Rav Yitzchak HaLevi Herzog was a big rav, chief rabbi, I don't know if he was chief, I call him chief rabbi of Ireland. He was a big rabbi in Ireland. And he did a PhD on the Tcheles. And he showed the Radzina Rebbe, got duped by the chemist, that poor thing. He spent all that time, and what happened was, it wasn't, you know why it turned, you know why no one believed it was a cuttlefish? Because it was the wrong color. A chemist gave him some dye, some type of formula that turned it into blue, but that was only because of the stuff, the chemicals he put in, so he got duped. So Rav Chaim Yitzchak HaLevi Herzog said it's not it. And he said, you know what it is? It's the Murex trunculus. It's not a fish, it's a snail. And that's what they found in 1990s. One of my people, friends of mine that I was in YU with, in the early 1990s, they were scuba diving in a lot or wherever they were, and they found this, I'm not sure if they're actually like looking for the chilazon exactly, but they were scuba diving and they found this Murex, and that's the one they claim today. That's the one Rev Herschel Schachter believes, Rev Belsky, and many other. There are many Gedolim who do not wear it, but there are a lot more people than you think wear it. But I'd say the majority, I wouldn't say it's universally accepted, but I'd say there's a Miyad HaMatzoy. There's a strong minority of people, and it seems to be catching on more and more. So nevertheless, so what happened was actually, the irony is, Rav Herzog was corresponding with the Radzina Rebbe, and he said, you don't know, it's way off. So what happened was the Nazis destroyed the village of Radzin. So what happened? So when the Radzina Chasida ended up in Israel, they wanted the Tcheles for the Rebbe. So they actually got the correspondence from Rav Herzog, and even though he disagreed with it, but he gave them the info and they went back and they figured out and they make it. So the Radzina Chasidim today still wear the cuttlefish. They still wear whatever the Rebbe told them was the was the tcheles, that's what they wear. And the Burek's trunculus is based, you know, on Rav Herzog, and that's the difference. According to the first version of the Beis HaLevi, he would consider wearing the tcheles because it's something we didn't have before. But according to the second version of the Beis HaLevi, it would make a difference. So Rav Aaron Lichtenstein goes with the Rav Soloveitchik. I'm not sure. I mean, the Rav died right in the early 1990s. I'm not even sure if he actually saw the Murek's trunculus. But so Rav Aaron Lichtenstein said, you know, wasn't going to wear. But Rav Herschel Schachter feels he disagrees. He says, "What do you mean? If there's so many rayas, he thinks that to him it's over a 90% chance that this is it. He thinks this is the real tcheles." What I like to say, of course, no one's gonna actually live it like it's 100%. What do I mean? Because would you put the question to believe that it's really 100%? You'd have to wear shatnitz b'makom mitzvah. In other words, let's say you had a linen garment, and by the way, tcheles, in addition to being blue, they have to be wool. So therefore, would they put a tcheles, a wool strings on a linen garment? You only could do that if you're sure, because then it's aseh docha lo. If you're wrong, you're over a lav. So therefore, I don't think anyone's going to wear tcheles today and violate shatnitz thinking it's right. I mean, they might think it's right, but I don't think anyone actually, you know, if they will get back to me on it. So either way, so according to the Rav Soloveitchik, there's nothing to talk about. But according to Rav Herschel Schachter and others, there is what to talk about, and therefore he doesn't go with the brisker tradition about the Beis HaLevi, and it doesn't make any sense. If you could find proof from historical, any proof you could find, bring it on. Gemaras, archaeological, and then you have to take it all in. Doesn't mean you don't accept one thing in a vacuum. You got to take in the whole picture, and that's what they have. So what happened was, so therefore that's what they did. So therefore, so Rav Herschel Schachter believes everyone should be wearing tcheles today. In fact, he has a lot of stronger words for that, but we'll hold off on that argument for a moment. He probably has, in other words, he's basically, if you don't wear tcheles, he thinks it's better not to wear tzitzis at all for another reason, but let's put that aside. So he says as follows. He says, so let's say I'm wrong. Let's say it's not the tcheles. So what? We paskin, they're not an obstacle. So even if, he says, because the Gemara talks about, they used to have the phonies, it's called Kali Elan, they used to put fake dye and make it look like it. So if you're wearing that, so what? It still counts. In other words, he says there's no harm if it's the wrong tcheles, so you still get your mitzvah of tzitzis. And if it's the right tcheles, I got my mitzvah daraisa. I do the mitzvah in its proper form, b'shleimuso. So, and he says, so therefore he claims it's at least a suffix today. It's at least a doubt whether it's tcheles or not. But he thinks it's a doubt. He thinks it's 90%, yes. And others think, some think it's a 0% chance. But he thinks it's a 90% chance. So he says we have a general principle. When we have a doubt regarding a biblical mitzvah, what's the halacha? Safek daraisa l'chumra. A doubt regarding a biblical law was strict. A doubt regarding a rabbinic law was lenient. So what's the harm? It's a safek on a tcheles, on a biblical mitzvah. So, of course you wear. If you're wrong, you don't lose anything. If you're right, you get a mitzvah in our Torah. So he says, we should apply safek daraisa l'chumra, and everyone should wear it today. That's what he claims. So what's the argument against that? It seems pretty strong. So Rev Shlomo Miller, a big posek in Toronto, he's actually a Talmud in Lakewood, but he's been in Toronto. He's basically the posek, he's the big posek in Toronto, at least in certain circles. And I think Josh Crames learned, you know, he I don't know if he was in his kol or not, he might have been, but either way, so Rav Shlomo Miller is a big posek, and he says, no, he's against, he says, He doesn't wear the tcheles. Ah, right, what about Savik Daraisa or Chumrah? It sounds like a strong taina. He says no. He says there's a famous Rav Chaim. See, he gets the Salavashiks come to protect the Beis Halevi. He says, when do we say Safek Daraisa or Chumrah doubt by a biblical was strict? Let's say I'm not sure if I benched. Let's say I ate a full meal. Let's assume I'm obligated in biblical benching, whatever the case is. And now I forgot if I benched. So do I have to bench over? Yeah. Let's say I'm not sure if I put on my tefillin. I put on my tefillin later. Because if it's a doubt on a biblical law, I have to redo it. He says, but when do we say that? That's only if this is when I do it the second time, I know I got the mitzvah. But therefore, when I bench again, I know now I fulfill my mitzvah of benching. When I put on my tefillin, I know I got my mitzvah of tefillin. But he says, if you put on the tcheles, you're still in the same doubt you were before. There's no guarantee you got the mitzvah. He says, you only say safek daraisa l'chumra is when you know the second time you got it right. B'toriz vaday. And he's so what does Rav Schechter say to that? He says, I agree, Rav Chaim says it, but he says Rav Chaim's against the Rishonim. The Ran writes in Rosh Hashanah that, let's say it's in between the first and second day of Sukkot. So we know on the first day, you have a biblical commandment to shake the Dalet Minim. The second day is only rabbinical. So let's say it's Ben Hashmashas between Yom Tov Rishon and Yom Tov Sheni. And you didn't shake lulav yet. So what should you do? So what should you do? The Ran tells you what to do. Shake lulav without a bracha. So when it comes to the bracha, safek d'rabbanan l'kua, but shake the lulav, safek d'raisa l'chumra. So Rav Schechter says, like we see, like we still say safek, even though I don't know if I got the mitzvah, because I don't know if it's yesterday or it's, I don't know if it's the first day or second day. And yet the Ran says to do it. So we say Safek Daraisa L'chumra, even if you're not sure about if you fulfilled the mitzvah the second time. And that's what Rav Nachum Zember says. Jeff, are you raising your hand? That's what Rav Schechter argues back. So what would Rav Shlomo Miller argue back? He says no. He says Rav Chaim's not against the Chas V'Shalom. To say Rav Chaim's against the Rishonim, of course he knew the Ran. Rav Chaim's saying something else. There's a big difference. In the case of the lulav, like the Ran, the point is you have to do everything possible you can. If you can do everything possible you can, then we say Safek Daraisa L'chumra. So all you can do now is shake the lulav. You might as well. That's all that's left. So there's no. But in the case of tcheles, what's the point? I'm going to have to go out tomorrow, the next thing, go find it, because I don't think it's it. So you don't say Safek Daraisa L'chumra when you're not gaining anything, when I'm going to have the same doubt a week after, a month after. So therefore, bottom line, it's a major machlokas whether we apply here Safek Daraisa L'chumra. Rav Schechter says yes. That's why he says you should wear it. And again, I'm just using Rav Schechter as an example. Whoever holds that shita holds it. And Rav Shlomo Miller says no, you don't say Safek Daraisa L'chumra. One more major debate. There's a lot more, but I'll give you one more issue. So Rav Schechter has a very big chiddush. So basically, Rav Schechter says to wear tcheles, he thinks it's it. So, and he says, you know what? Now that we found it's tcheles, he says, you have to wear the tcheles. And if you're not going to wear the tcheles, then don't wear tzitzis. Because why? Because if you're going to wear tzitzis, meaning if you're going to wear a four-cornered garment of tzitzis and you're not going to put on tcheles, you violate, or possibly you violate, assuming it is real tcheles, you violate the prohibition of Baal Tigra. There's a biblical prohibition to add to the Torah and take away from the Torah. So therefore he says, So what's Baal Tigra? So again, it's the same Beis HaLevi. It's a different Beis, same person, different Beis HaLevi. The Beis HaLevi says, the Beis HaLevi asked in the late 1800s, he says, how are we allowed to wear tzitzis today? Because how come we're not over Baal Tigra? Because we're now, so obviously why? He says, Ase docha lo sase. The Ase of tzitzis supersedes the prohibition of Baal Tigra. In other words, we have Ase docha lo, but we have no choice. We don't have tcheles around. So what do? Ase docha lo sase, we wear tzitzis. So why is it Baal Tigra? Because according to the Beis HaLevi, if I don't wear tzitzis at all, that's nothing. Maybe I'm a vatel and mitzvah zase, but if I was wearing a four-quarter garment. But Baal Tigra means I have the ability to do a mitzvah in its optimal way, and I choose to do it in a bidyeved way. That's Baal Tigra. So Rav Schechter says, today we do have the tcheles. So if you choose to wear tzitzis, so the Beis HaLevi during his time, there was no tcheles, so therefore what he wore them, because ase docha lo sase. But the Rav Schechter taking the Beis HaLevi to the next step says, but today we have the tcheles. According to the Beis HaLevi, he'd say, functionally we don't have it, but the Rav Schechter is based on the Beis HaLevi, and therefore, if you wear tzitzis without tcheles, you violate Baal Tigra. It's better not to wear tzitzis at all. That's the opinion of Rav Schechter. Better not to wear tzitzis at all if you're not going to wear tcheles. However, that's a big chiddush, but there are different reasons why people disagree with that. But so according to Rav Schechter, you're over Baal Tigra if you don't put tcheles on your tzitzis now. Rav Shlomo Miller says the opposite. He says, according to me, that I don't think it's tcheles, you could knock yourself out. It's okay. There's no Baal Tigra. But according to you, if you actually think that you do have the tcheles, then whoever's wearing tcheles and thinks it's the real thing, you're violating either Baal Tigra or Baal Tosef. What do you mean? You're either adding to the Torah or taking. What does he mean? He means as follows. There's a debate about how many tcheles strings how many strings, we know we have 8 strings on this, you know, turned over. So the question is, how many are tcheles, how many, so there's a big machlokas, 1, 2, 4, it's a whole discussion how much tcheles you have to put on the tzitzis. So it's a debate. So Rav Shlomo Miller is saying, according to you, and he says, it's a sveika d'dina. We don't know how to paskin. We can't paskin the shayla until the Mashiach comes. We don't have the end. We don't know how many. So he's saying like this. If you think it's a tcheles and you're putting it on, let's say you put on 2 strings, but really the halach is 1, then you're over Baal Tosef if you're adding another string. And if you put on 1 string and it should be 2, then you're over Baal Tigra. In other words, he's saying, according to me, you could, you know, there's no reason to wear it. I'm not, because it's not it. But if you think it's it, he thinks you're violating, so therefore we're stuck. You're violating Baal Tigra according to someone. Pick your poison, as I like to say. According to Rav Schechter, you're over Baal Tigra if you're wearing regular tzitzis without tcheles. And according to Rav Shlomo Miller, if you hold there is the tcheles and you put them on, then you're going to, I mean, maybe you guessed right, but assuming you didn't guess right, you could be over Baal Tigra or Baal Tosef. That's Rav Shlomo Miller's Tainer. Of course, Rav Schechter would answer back, what are you talking about? There's no Sveika D'dina. We know how we paskin. We paskin like Tosfos. And therefore, Rav Schechter has his string. So I'd say, you know, most people, even if you accept Rav Schechter with Tcheles, most people don't accept his Baal Tigra. I'm not going to go tell someone not to wear tzitzis because, you know, and there are different reasons why we would assume it's not Baal Tigra. Either that's a separate shita, either working with the Beis HaLevi or working with another shita. You know, that some want to say that Baal Tigra is only when you're dealing with numbers. Like, let's say, because where's Baal Tosef? Like, you have 4 minim, 4 species. You do 3 or 5. you have four part, you know, four batim on the tefillin, you know, that's a din about, but having like putting more threads on, that's not, there's nothing to do with about tigra or about tosif. That would be against, you know, that could be against what Rav Shlomo Miller is saying. Or others say that's only if you have the kavana that you're doing it. Your kavana is that you say you know there's tcheles, and then you dafka don't do it. But you know if you're doing it, you know if your kavana isn't, you know you admit there is a mitzvah of tcheles. I just don't have it today. So again, there are different ways to answer it, but it wouldn't be Baal Tigra, according to Rav Shach. You know, different schools of thought. But the bottom line is, so and one last thing that he Rav Shach likes saying over is, so getting back, so that he asked Rav El Yashav, so what do you think? So Rav Yashav said, I think number one is right. I think that if you find the right one, you could wear it. So he said, so are you going to wear it then? He said, let me think about it. So he didn't wear it. So people say, look, he didn't wear it. It proves it's not it. So Rav Schechter says he heard from the Tchelis people who went to show it to Rav El Yashav. So their version of the story goes like this. They said, oh, so Rav El Yashav, oh, I like what I see. It's looking good. I like the prayas, the proofs. He said, how much stuff do you have? Do you have enough for 100,000 charedim tomorrow? If I start wearing the tcheles tomorrow, everyone else is going to wear them. So I want to, he said, no, we don't have enough. The old, you know, do you take economics, supply and demand? No, it's going to be very expensive. Of course the price is going to go up. It's going to be very expensive. He says, and I can't, between me and you, I think it might be it, but I can't wear it. Why? Because the charedim in Yerushalayim, there are a lot of very poor charedim. They could barely put food on the table. If they see me wearing tcheles, they're going to take that check and buy tcheles. They're not going to have food on the table for their kids. I don't want to be part of that. And therefore, I can't tell you, I can't come publicly and say that so that's their argument. He actually thought it was a tcheles, but he couldn't wear it for meta halakha reason. There could be other reasons, you know, as well. But so that's the debate, the current debate today. You know, whether we found the tcheles, that was the machlokes, the Radvina Chasidim, they wear the cuttlefish. Others probably wear the Murex trunculus, you know, Rav Herzog, or you know, that version. Different versions of tcheles. And you have different camps. You either have those who wear the tcheles because they think it's it. They have those who don't wear the tcheles because they don't think it's a tcheles. You have the Rav Soloveitchik version that even if you think it's it, you don't wear it because you need a mesorah. You know, you have the Rav Asher White camp that's against either because he doesn't go from. He doesn't believe in archaeology. It's only, you know, he doesn't go for the science of archaeology. Or he claims it doesn't fit in with the Rayas or the Gemara. Either you think it's the Tcheles based on the sort. In other words, there are generally three schools. Either in general, there's a lot of like fine tuning in the middle. But either you think it's it based on the sources and you wear it. You don't think it's it, so you don't wear it. And then there's the middle ground. You could think it's it, but you still don't wear it because you need a mesorah. So different schools of thought. So yesh v'yesh, as I said, I'd call it a mi'at ha-matzoy, but it's a strong minority, which is probably growing in terms of more people wearing the techeles today. But that's some of the issues regarding the debate of whether we've found the techeles and why it's not universally accepted, but why some people wear the tcheles and some don't. Jeff?
Yes, sir. When you talk about the concept of
one was just suggesting that maybe today it wouldn't be even the Beis HaLevi, you know, even though the Beis HaLevi had chelas, but someone has suggested, not like the Beis HaLevi, that if your intent is, I know that the chelas is around, I just don't have it, so that's maybe it's not about Tigra. In other words, maybe you need the kavana that I know chelas is there and I'm not using it because I want to violate, you know, maybe you need the kavana, someone has suggested. You find that difficult, yeah. It's not working with the Beis HaLevi. Obviously, the Beis HaLevi doesn't go there because he knew the Tcheles was around. He knew he had no Tcheles, but he still thought it was Baal Tigra, and you needed Ase Dochalos Ase to. And then within the Ase Dochalos Ase camp, you know, some want to say it was that Ureisem also, it's Exeris HaKasuv. And therefore it's not about Tigra. That Ureisem also, and we know also, meaning in singular, Lavan or Tcheles. So someone learned, it's Exeris HaKasuv that there is no Baal Tigra by Sitzis, because that it's normally it would be, but since the Pasuk says it, so therefore it's Exeris HaKasuv, you could wear the Lavan or Tcheles. So, you know, that's the whole Baal Tosif Shir. For more details, Ayin Wayu Torah, Baal Tigra and Tcheles. You can find this here. It was recently uploaded, I think. Very recent, I think yesterday. Unless it was today, I don't know. Because I see someone's been very busy uploading, because I see a lot of new stuff on Wayu Torah in the past couple of days.